friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
If you go to brownzone.com right now, headline, Bengals 17, Browns 16, Cleveland waste golden opportunity to win opener with missed kicks, dropped passes. That sums it all up in one headline. The guy who wrote the story that goes along with that joins us right now. And he's Mr. Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, fellas, before we get started, did you lose the rights to Springsteen or what?
Yeah. Actually, yes.
Good answer. Yes.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
So are we.
There goes all my enthusiasm.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know.
You want me to sing Atlantic City or something to you?
I do like that.
Some kind of a deal there that, you know, it's above our pay grade, Scott. So.
What did I do there, Scott? What's up?
By golly, we're still happy to have you on the show, though.
Well, they blew up the chicken, man.
Way to go, Scott. Look what you did. Because that.
What's going on, fellas?
All right.
So, we don't pay for that, riddle me this one.
Okay.
The defense couldn't have been much better. The offensive game plan, I thought, was terrific because it actually helped the defense. Ball control offense, keep that Bengal offense off the field. That helped. Browns didn't score a lot of points, but they had six plays that killed them. I want to be optimistic, except there were six plays that killed them.
Yeah.
How should we feel today?
Yeah, that's so interesting, Jeff, because you can look at it either way, and it's a matter of perspective. My overriding thought is it was a game they should have won, a game they needed to win, and they just shot themselves in the foot at the most inopportune times. And they're going to regret this loss, and it's going to, you know, it's hard to get them back. We know what the next five games look like. They're really difficult. I thought this was going to be the easiest one. I thought they could win this one and would win this one. So, yeah, there are plenty of positives, and I don't think you can just gloss over those. But this is the NFL. You know, it's a big boy league. You got to win games that are there for you. And if your defense holds Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Chase Brown to 17 points and 141 yards and minus 18 yards in the fourth quarter, you got to win the game.
Ah, man, I just need to moan a little, but I'm still bummed.
The Baskin sigh.
Yeah, you got the sigh on this one, because I'm just sitting here. The problem I have is that I think Flacco played good enough to win. I thought, you know, he showed that he can lead this team to victory no matter what his age is, so we can stop talking about his age. The problem is that it's not his age clock, it's the clock itself. Like, you hit the nail on the head. They needed to win yesterday, because that was a game they should have won. At what point, if they continue to play like this with a quarterback who can get them in position to win, but they're losing, and you see the you know, standings don't care, right? And once those standings keep saying zero and something, you have to see what's on the bench. And then it's like, okay, like that clock is, I don't know how many games Joe Flacco has on that clock, which is what he kind of felt last year in Indy too.
Yeah, I think there's a reality to that. Andy, I think we're premature to talk about that.
Okay.
I don't think that clock starts for at least another 5 or 6 weeks. I don't think it's before the done playing Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. It might not be before the bye week. And who knows what happens, right? I mean,
they
go in and shock Baltimore next week. It's 1-1, and you're feeling better about this team. But I do get what you're saying. And if you're looking at it long term, yes. But I don't think, and who knows, maybe Dylan Gabriel would have played just as well as Joe Flacco did. But Joe Flacco gave them the best chance to win the game. He gave them a great chance to win the game. They should have won the game. The kicker makes kicks. If the guys don't drop good Joe Flacco passes, they win this game. So, you know, I just don't know if I want one of the earliest takeaways to be, what about Joe Flacco? He played great, and I thought he managed the game really well. He didn't put the ball in harm's way. I know he threw two interceptions, but, you know, the one was, I mean, we saw both of them like go off the receiver's hands, right? Yep. And the one is low over the middle, and he steps up. Like, you know, it wasn't a great throw, but it's also not an interception throw, you know, and then it turns into an interception. So I thought Joe was great, and I think the rest of the locker room looks at Joe, and as long as we're still early in the season, it's, hey, this is the guy. that can win games, whether it's versus Joe Burrow or, you know, next week versus Lamar Jackson. I mean, look at all the quarterbacks are going to play. I think they go, hey, Joe's the guy that gives us a chance.
There were a lot of teams around the NFL that had trouble running the ball yesterday. The Browns were certainly one of them. Yeah. Are you concerned about that?
Yeah. I mean, they ran it terribly. I would say this, that I think that's something that can get better from week one to week two, especially with this veteran line group. Joe Bitonio talked about missed assignments. And, you know, I think, okay, well, if you have 4 30-year-olds, maybe that shouldn't be happening week one. You know, they also lost Jack Conklin early, so they had Cornelius Lucas have to step in. And he hasn't spent a ton of time with that first unit. He was injured for part of the end of training camp. So that could be part of it. I think they'll get some of those things cleaned up. And then you look at it, okay, well, they're getting Quinshon Judkins back possibly as early as next week. That will help. You know, I think when he's completely up to speed, that will help a lot. I don't know how much it's going to help in Baltimore if he plays, but I think it will help. You know, I thought Dylan Sampson played really hard and ran really hard, but, you know, he didn't have a lot of room to run, and you could see the size limitations for him. He's obviously better in space than he is trying to, you know, move the pile. I mean, it's concerning, especially since they put so much time into, hey, we're going to run it this year, and we're going to be better running it, and we're going to commit to it. And I thought they did commit to it. Like you talked about the ball control earlier, it just wasn't nearly good enough. But I think week two helps, and then I do think Junkins is going to make a difference at some point, and maybe even next week.
Does it make a statement if you cut Andre Schmidt today? I don't know. I don't think Kevin was leaning that way yesterday. Your thoughts on – I'm sure the fans, you know, want him gone today, but I don't know if you can – coach a team like that, and you better hope that it doesn't happen again, right?
Well, I don't know if about making a statement. I just think if you're, and I'm speaking, if I were in Coach Kevin Stefanski's shoes, mm-hmm. I would want a kicker that I had some faith in. And sure. It's hard to do that when, you know, the kid in his first NFL game misses two in the second half, and they cost you a game. Now, Stefanski might be more patient than I am, and, you know, I know that Schmidt built up some kind of collateral with this organization through the offseason and in preseason. I understand that. But that's just a tough position to not have any confidence in. So I fully expect them to bring kickers in to at least try out. And I would not be stunned at all if we heard them make a kicker switch. That's the nature of the position. If you don't have a guy that's entrenched and has a long proven track record, games like yesterday get kickers fired or cut. And I could certainly see that happening here.
I thought it was interesting when they went for it early in the fourth quarter. There was the 3rd and 5 where Harold dropped mm-hmm. the pass, and then 4th and 5 from the 39. And Kevin went for it. Jerry Jeudy dropped that pass. And I mentioned to Andy earlier, I kind of get it. Kevin's always, you know, been aggressive in those situations. But he did have a 56-yard field goal try. And he passed it up. And I wonder, did he pass it up because he wanted to be aggressive or because he didn't have confidence in Schmidt? And then Schmidt had a chance, you know, go kick a 56-yarder, which is really pushing his range. But I wonder if that stuck in his head, like, oh, man, the coach doesn't trust me in this situation? I wonder.
That's interesting. We just don't have, like, a resume with Schmidt where I would go, okay, I feel comfortable with him kicking from 56 or 57. So when they went for it, I didn't think twice about it. You know, I mean, I was doing the math, you know, okay, are they going to kick? What are they going to do here? That always felt to me like a go situation. But I think you feel differently if you're, or you think differently about it, if you're Pittsburgh with Boswell, right? That's okay. Do we give up the 3 points? But you just don't know. So it doesn't feel so much as you're giving up 3 points as, hey, let's extend this. Let's give us, you know, a better chance at a touchdown or closer field goal. So I get what you're saying, Jeff, but I thought that was the right call for Stefanski to go for it there. And then he calls a great play, and Jeudy drops the ball.
Yep, just as Fannin did. So
I think one of the problems you get is when you start walking back into the facility today, and you're like, and if you've been around for a while, you're like, oh, here we go again. Like, I don't know how do they avoid that? They just need to get to Sunday and put in a good performance. How do you avoid here we go again? again, 16 points, right? Same as what they had last year. Whether you want to, whether it's a kicker's fault or not, they've got to be able to get to 21 to win games.
Yes, there's no doubt. The mental aspect of it is interesting. And, you know, there are different kind of takes on that in the locker room after the game yesterday. You know, and the joke who talked about being ticked off, and that's how they had to approach it, and we're not going to lose again. We're not going to lose like that because we're so mad that we lost. You know, Cedric Tillman talked about being sick of losing. So I do think there is that feeling. And then, you know, Flacco, when he was talking about the kicker, it was a lot of, hey, you get negative thoughts when you're in this league. And when you feel like you let your team down, you feel everybody's looking at you. He goes, you got to fight through those thoughts. And it's got to be, hey, if we go into Baltimore and win in Baltimore, we're going to be celebrating in their locker room, and none of this is going to matter. We're not going to be thinking about this. Right. So you do have to flip that switch, and you have to get yourself in a place that says, yeah, forget about that game, and we're moving forward, and we and take the positives, right? Like we talked about at the beginning. I think you can look at this, take a step back, and whether your offense or defense, say, hey, our defense played great against one of the best offenses in the league. They're going to give us a chance to win every week. And if we do this, this, and this, which were right in front of us, we can win this game. And, you know, we can get better because it's week one, and we have a bunch of rookies, and they're only going to get better, right? Like, I think there are plenty of things to pull from, and you can use that, but you do have to fight the here we go again. And, I mean, it's probably a bigger issue for fans with here we go again than inside that locker room. But I'm not saying that's not something that they have to address.
Brownzone.com. Go read all of Scott's work. You can read great commentary by Jim Ingram as well. A terrific coverage on your website, Scott. Well done. And thank you, buddy. We listen to, we'll look forward to hearing you in Kevin's press conference at 1 o'clock.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Scotty.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, Brownzone.com, joining us there on the fan hotline.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. We're going to talk about the kicker in just a second.
Oh, boy.
Number to join us is 216-474-0092. Before we do that, I've mentioned a couple of times over the last several months about the menace who's been on the highway every morning driving to work.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this.
There's a guy who drives a blue Audi sedan.
Yeah.
Who turns an interstate into a racetrack.
Yes.
Most every day.
Every day. I hear you talk about it.
I go with traffic. Yeah. Dude weaves in and out of traffic, blows everybody's doors off.
Right.
I
mean, doesn't care. Right lane, left lane.
He's a menace, and it's a shame. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, I congratulate the Brecksville Police Department.
Oh, congratulations.
Had it pulled over today.
Do you think people were cheering when they went by?
With a couple of units. A couple of units had them.
Yeah, really?
There were two cars.
Really?
Two police vehicles.
Wow.
So Brecksville, I believe it was Brecksville. It was a little north of Richfield. So I'm pretty sure it's the Brecksville guys. I congratulate you. At the very least, you're going to cost the guy a couple of $100.
You're a regular dragnet over there.
I've got the guy's license plate memorized.
It's probably because he's tattooed it on your car a couple times.
I would love
admit it. You were cheering like you normally.
Well, we were on the call this morning, and I went. Yeah, I cut you off, I think. I was like, wait a minute. Ah!
You were very excited about that.
So, Blue Audi, man, slow down, man.
That was good. You know the story you cut off for me, which I thought was a fascinating one. I had a blood drawn this morning before I came into work, and I asked the phlebotomist, that's the person that takes your blood. I looked at her, and I was like, hey, how you doing? She was like, hey, how are you? I was the first person of the day. And I was like, so, how long have you been doing this? And she didn't answer right away. And I was like, uh-oh. And I was like, so this wouldn't be the first time you've ever done this before. You know, it is Monday morning. And she was like, no, I've been doing it for 4 years. But it is an interesting question to ask. How many times have you done this before when you have somebody who's drawing your blood? By the way, she was excellent. Excellent. She did a great job.
That's great.
Didn't feel
anything.
Just
a little needle because it's a blood test.
Yeah.
Do you give blood? Like,
no, donate? I don't. No, I'm not. I should.
I do on a regular basis because I have to. It's a long story.
My wife is on heaven. We get tons of phone calls
what
from,
you
them,
don't,
from heaven.
What
I should
you
say.
Don't want is someone who's not very good sticking the big needle
in
your arm.
That's not
then
fun.
Then fishing for the vein. Oh, that's not good. Kicker.
She killed it this morning. She was great.
Kicker. And Brexo Police, well done. Thank you very much.
And phlebotomist.
I would love nothing more than to find out that the Blue Audi listens.
Kicker.
If you if you're listening, Blue Audi, you can call in.
Before we talk about the kicker, Tom has patiently been hanging on. Tom's in Canton. Hello, Tom.
Tom.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How about your Canton guy yesterday? Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. So many things to talk about, but I want to talk about just the defense and the special teams. And I think Bubba is not the answer. I loved him as a player in Cleveland, but nobody talks about it. I don't know what we were ranked in special teams last year, but, you know, I think this kicker is actually a good kicker. I think he falls through. I think we have to look at Bohorquez as well. Every kicker that he's held for, even when he was in Green Bay, has really struggled.
What?
I don't know, maybe put a yeah.
Wait, you're saying Corey struggles?
No, as a holder.
Oh, I think he's a great punter. I love watching him. Yeah. As much as I hate punts,
great punter.
I think he's great.
I love him as a captain. But, like, the special teams yesterday, that ball should have been down at the one, and you could see Bohorquez, you know, things. And, you know, I don't know. I don't see the special teams getting better. Cincinnati almost ran one back to the house. I think that guy made a great tackle. But, you know, I don't know if it's the field. It's like Austin Seibert goes somewhere else, does great. Zane Gonzalez goes somewhere else, does great. So I don't know if it's a field.
They're both unemployed, though, now, Tom. They're available if you want to bring them in.
And then the defense, I think McGuire and Newsom did excellent. And Newsom, I think he's finally playing the position he should have been playing, what he feels comfortable with. It stinks that Emerson got, you know, hurt. But I really think Newsom's going to have a great year. I'm worried about Baltimore because – if Joe Burrow could have ran yesterday, there was a lot of holes. And, you know, when we get in those third and longs, we always see, like, the Lamar Jacksons or the Josh Allens to get that first down on us because those holes just open up. And Myles Garrett, great game. But, again, you know, jumps off sides all the time. It's like you go speeding in the car, you jump off sides. Maybe those are two and two. But thanks, guys, for listening, and go Browns.
All right, Tom. All right. Thank you very much. Andre Schmidt kicked in his first NFL game yesterday. We cannot avoid, we cannot ignore. Guy missed half of his kicks. Missed a 33-yarder, he missed a 36-yarder. He did the same thing on both of them. I'm not cutting him yet. Here's why. I'll give you a couple of reasons.
Sure.
Number one, he missed both kicks exactly the same way.
Yeah, he said you listened to his post game yesterday.
We ran it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Adjusted.
He said he kind of rushed it a little bit and pushed them both to the right. You would think that that's just an adjustment that needs to be made. You would think. If you liked Dustin Hopkins enough after a phenomenal year 2 years ago, when he was, what, 8 of 8, I think, Andy, on 50 yarders plus, to give him a contract with some money in it. And then last year he struggled a little bit and didn't have a good training camp preseason. If you were unhappy enough with Dustin Hopkins to cut him, I'm not going to say Andre Schmidt beat him out, but if you were unhappy enough with Hopkins to cut him.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Did Hopkins
get himself cut, or did Schmidt beat him out?
Yeah, did he beat him out, or did Hopkins lose the job?
That the answer to that question might be the deciding factor in whether the Browns change kickers this week. If Schmidt beat him out, they're going to give him another game. If Schmidt was just the guy standing here and they decided Hopkins wasn't the guy, then they could go get another kicker this week. But I got to figure Schmidt's here. I would give him another week. And if he has problems again next week against Baltimore, you know, if you lose the game against Baltimore, God willing, the kicker won't be the problem. We'll see. If he has two bad games in a row, Andy, I think you got to move on.
I do too. I, you know, You listened to Kevin's press conference yesterday, too. He sounded like he was like, we're going forward with him this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Kevin not wanting to.
He said,
I'm not ready
to go there now, or I'm not going there now.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think, and by the way, he doesn't want to throw Andrew under the bus there, too, right? I mean, they had to.
They signed Dustin Hopkins and guaranteed him some cash. You don't do that to a kicker. This regime has made some bad kicker moves.
I can't argue it. Although the punting,
kicker punter.
I don't ever
spots.
Think that I've ever. Yeah, they do a pretty good job. We've had good punters here.
Yeah,
we've had good long snappers.
You know, and the idea that the holder is the problem here. I hadn't thought of it. Did you?
I didn't until we got that phone call.
I wonder. What do you think?
But the holder's also the punter.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're not going to get rid of him.
No.
Many used to be the backup quarterback was the holder.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, shouldn't it be? Jeff,
you know why they do that?
Why?
Because the punter and the kicker and the long snapper hang out together all the time, and they have time to kill during practice, and they can work together as a unit. Whereas the backup quarterback doesn't get that extra time with those guys.
But
That's what I've always been told.
I get that.
And that's the trend now in the NFL is to have punters hold.
Okay, but
because of that reason.
But you're taking a bullet out of your chamber when you do that, because if the quarterback's a holder, the other team has to prepare for him to step up and be the quarterback on the snap, right?
Oh, how often are you going to do that?
I don't know if you're daring and you like to do it, but at least the illusion is there. That your quarterback could take the snap and do something with it if it's a backup quarterback.
I would bet you that most punters, I shouldn't say most, I would bet you that a bunch of the punters in the NFL played quarterback when they were younger. I know Dave Zasadil did, for whatever that's worth. Dave, if you're listening, hi.
Yeah, why am I? Brecksville.
Bay Village.
No, I'm talking about, why am I?
Oh, Tom Tupa.
Tom Tupa, yeah. Well, sorry about that, Tom. Yeah, Tupa, same thing.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. I'll buy it, but I think there's an illusion there, right? That if you've got a quarterback who's a holder, for whatever it's worth, I think you're right. If these guys are hanging out together all day, that's fine. It's either that or, go sit in the van.
What would you do? Chill. Would you change kickers, or are you going to let Schmidt have another game? And I hate to put the pressure on the kid, but welcome to the NFL. I think he gets one more game. If anything, Andy, he gets one more. And if there are problems against Baltimore, you're going to get a new kicker. You just are. That's the NFL. That's the way this works. What would you do?
I've just seen too many guys that we've had here that have struggled a little bit, and we bail on them super quick. The problem is this actually, it defines the fact that you lost the game. You know, it's one thing to miss an extra point and you end up coming back, you get two, you make up for it, you take a deep breath and you go, okay, we'll give this kid another shot. It's not that big a deal. But man, when it directly costs you a game,
and
the scrutiny wouldn't be horrible if he had just made the extra point. That's the problem. If you just make the extra point, I think people could live with the fact that he missed a field goal attempt, especially when.
But it was a 36 yarder.
Yeah, I know. But isn't it easier that way? People expect the extra point.
Maybe.
And
I expect 36 yarders to go through.
Yeah, I do too.
To be honest, I expect anything 45 and in.
So you're giving him one more week, right?
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
I think he's going
to
get one more.
The answer to the question, did he beat out Dustin Hopkins or did Dustin Hopkins just lose the job, might be the key to what happens this week.
Does it matter at this point, though?
Yeah, I think it does. If they saw enough to keep him that they liked him, then I think he gets another week.
Ugh.
What do you think, folks? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Tyvus Powell, our buddy from the Browns Radio Network, is going to join us in about 17 minutes.
He was in a great mood yesterday.
Right here. When is Tyvus not in a great mood? One of the most optimistic guys I know.
Oh, we had such a
certainly makes up for you.
We had such a great. I'm optimistic when I'm not pessimistic. And I'm optimistic about that statement.
It's, that's funny.
We had a great conversation about Ohio State. You really weren't into Ohio State over the weekend. Didn't care at all.
Andy, why? I don't want to get into it.
You can just say I didn't want to watch.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. I didn't watch one snap. Why would I?
Oh,
this weekend was blowout weekend in college football. I think college football can just go ahead and just say, hi, we did this all for money. Thank you. And move along.
Well, I mean, it did. I mean, Grambling did get a million bucks.
God bless Grambling.
They got a million bucks for
it. Penn State. God bless Akron.
Oh, Jeff.
You all got paid.
Other
than that, you put your kids in harm's way.
Can I be honest, Jeff? I was flipping through the channels on Saturday morning, and I hit TNT, and that was the Kent State game.
Texas Tech.
Oh, my God, man. I felt bad.
What was it? 77-3 or something.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But you know what? They did
14. I think they scored twice.
They did a nice job with the logo. I think the Kent State logo looked good on national TV. The problem was the score next to it. By the way, how about Ohio last night getting a little mention on the Sunday Night Football broadcast?
Beat West Virginia.
Yeah, and they'll play Ohio State this week, and that game's on Peacock. So, but they were, you know, they were promoting the game. I don't know. I get it. I don't know why. I like it when these Mid-American Conference schools get a little bit of run nationally. Whether they get blown out or not, as long as they spell the name right.
Those games are ridiculous, and they shouldn't play them.
Wow.
Well, they are. I mean, the Grambling.
What if
Grambling kids get out of getting beat 70-0?
Okay,
I'm
going to give you the argument on what those kids get. It's not like this week is a typical game.
Hopefully not injured.
And so Antonio Pittman and I were talking about this over the weekend too, right? Dang. That in these games, they used to be games where you would find kids, like a lot of kids from Ohio that played high school ball in Ohio who probably wanted to play at Ohio State, find themselves playing the game of their lives against Ohio State and trying their best because they want Ohio State to think they made a mistake. Now, I wonder how many of those kids off Grambling will get an audition somewhere, I shouldn't say audition, if they enter the transfer portal, now have a chance. So what happens is if you're playing for Grambling, that game now becomes an audition for anybody that has some talent. Grambling had a couple guys that could play. And if they want to enter the transfer portal, right, but now they've got an audition against a big-time school. So I think the whole thing there has changed from, hey, it's guys that didn't get the opportunity to play from big school, to now you have an audition to go play, and other teams will look at them. They're going to hit the transfer portal. Do you want to agree or disagree or tell me I'm nuts?
You're somewhat nuts.
There's nothing nuts about it.
No,
it's an audition for those for those kids.
The first thing I'll add in is the only good thing that came out of this weekend of Grambling versus Ohio State is the bands playing together, and go see the Grambling marching band play because that was outstanding.
Absolutely wrong. Bo Jackson finally got a chance to see Bo Jackson, and the argument is going to be made moving forward.
Did you see the Grambling State marching band? It was outstanding.
I only saw a little bit. They only played.
Did you see the Grambling defense? Because Ohio State didn't.
Well, it doesn't matter. My point is that the argument for Bo Jackson to get more time is going to come. It's going to become a statement.
That's great.
Well, you got to have some kind of reference point to say why does he deserve it, and there you go.
I wonder if Grambling State, kind of like with Jackson State and a couple of those others, HBCUs, I wonder if that's a different world when it comes to the transfer portal. Just because they're HBCUs, you know, the historical black colleges.
Right.
And so these guys are like honored, you know, to be able to play for these schools. So that's the only pushback I would have on the whole transfer portal thing. I'm sure there's a couple of kids who are like that, but I'm sure there's a lot of other ones who are like, no, I want to play at Grambling State because this means a bunch.
That's true. I think you actually have that.
Well, one other point. I know, but listen, here, let me make one more point on this too. Did Deion not prove, though, at Colorado by taking his kids from Jackson State, that some of those HBCU kids deserve another look?
No, that's a different story.
Why?
Because Travis Hunter went to Jackson State because he was going to play for Deion Sanders. And Shedeur Sanders went to Jackson State because he was going to play for his dad.
Okay, so again, you don't think it helped any of these other guys? He didn't take anybody else to Colorado other than those two?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, well, I think it's giving these kids a chance that maybe weren't seen before the opportunity to play against big. Okay. Look, I know Ohio State blew them out. I knew it wasn't a great game, and it was a fun game to watch, especially if you like kids from Northeast. So, I don't think we've ever seen in the history of high school football where you've got two Division III Region 9 guys on the field at the same time at the end of the game. I mean, that happened at the end of the game. Brody Lennon and Bo Jackson got to play together at the same time.
Are a joke. They're not good for the winning team, and they're not good for the losing team.
See, I can find good things about them. I mean, do I wish they were closer? Yes, I get it. But you know what? That you can't play top 10. By the way, Ohio State's won how many straight games against top 10 teams after Texas?
Well, good. That's good.
And the number one team in the country should win 70-0 in a game like that.
No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't play those games. Demos is in Shaker. Hello, Demos.
Hi, Demos.
Get us back on track.
Well, you know, look, I went to Warren Harding High School, and every year the first game was always against Cleveland John Adams, and you could expect a 70-0 win.
Yeah, but John Adams didn't get $1 million.
Listen, they got something. They got paid something going to Warren. Trust me.
Well, right? Now you get computer points for them. It depends on what, you know, what level you're on. And by the way, I used to work at a station that ran the Phil Annarella show. Baby.
Nice. Very good.
Just for you.
Appreciate the call out. All right.
Yes.
So, but I want to get back to the kicker, okay?
Okay.
Here's the deal. How much is an NFL game worth a win, okay? How much more, I mean, more shirts do the happy fans buy on the way out? How much, you know, at the end of the year, being potentially in playoff contention, what is a win in the NFL worth? Okay. Now, what's the difference between what they're paying this current kicker and what they were paying the last kicker they just got rid of? And I'm wondering if that had anything to do with it, because one thing that they didn't take into consideration was being ready to play at an NFL level. It's just like me with it. When I took golf lessons, I'm hitting the ball great. I get out there on the course, I'm slicing and hooking back to normal here. Mm. So, you know, if it's a matter of just sheer dollars and cents here, I don't know how you put a rookie like that out there over our former kicker. It just blows my mind.
You'd have kept Hopkins? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just another GM flub by the Browns.
You know, Demos, the thing about it to me, you make perfect sense. If you are going to give Hopkins guaranteed money because of what he did 2 years ago and he had a bad year and a bad preseason last year, man, wouldn't you stick with him?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like he's proven he can at least play in the NFL. This kid hasn't proven anything yet.
Yeah, I get it. Demos, thanks, bud.
All right.
Appreciate it. The question to me, Andy, again, is did Schmidt beat out Hopkins, or did they think Hopkins was toast?
You know? My fear is this, that, you know, Schmidt ends up, like, they end up cutting him after 2 weeks.
And then he finds it out somewhere else.
Yeah. And then he sits for three, and then week six, somebody's looking for a kicker, and they're like, all right, let's give this kid a chance. They bring him in, and all of a sudden he finds himself. Why does that happen with so many kickers?
That's kind of why I don't want to get rid of him. It seems to happen to most kickers. Phil Dawson, you know.
Right.
Phil had to find himself.
Yeah.
Matt Barr was with numerous teams.
But Matt was successful before he came here.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he have any eligibility left?
I do not believe so.
You sure? I don't know. How old's Matt these days? He's got to be in his 50s, right?
Matt's got to be 50, 60, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe I took a couple years. Oh, Jeff. He's almost 70.
Matt Barr?
Yes, he's 69 years old.
Matt could probably still kick.
I bet he could, too.
And his brother,
I love
Chris.
Cheering for him.
And his brother, Chris. Matt was a good dude.
Even though he went to Penn State, I still liked him.
Got to cover. I'm
69, really?
I'm trying to balance, Andy, being optimistic about some of the good things we saw yesterday with being pessimistic because, man, you let one get away. And I don't know if the defense can play that well again against a good offense, and they'll face one against Baltimore. And I don't know if the offense can control the ball as well as they did against a better defense. You know, the offense played fairly well. Remember, Cincinnati's defense, no great shakes. You know, they were not a primo defense last year. They were 25th in the NFL.
They were the primary reason they lost games last year.
They were 26th in the NFL last year in yards allowed. So I thought the Browns offense was pretty solid, yet they still only put up 16 points against a defense that's not supposed to be a good one. They'll face a better one this week in Baltimore, but it's a Baltimore team that gave up 41 points yesterday.
I know.
And a Steeler defense that gave up 32 to the Jets with Justin Fields. So the the division's defense is the Browns through week one get the award for being the best. That doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing.
There is no real award.
Wait, let me check the plus minus.
Tyvus Powell, our buddy on the Browns Radio Network, joining us next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.